the students who ended up being like my best friend there, who was sharing how God had given him a verse about, and it had kind of changed his life, and was just so random, but he looked it up and it was so impactful in his life. So like later that night, I was thinking how cool. I was sitting on top of this sugar mill thing, which is like 25 feet off the ground, and I was thinking it'd be cool, like, jump off of this, and God sends his angel to protect me, you know? It'd be amazing, right? You know, be perfectly fine. Decided it probably wouldn't be a good idea. I might break my legs first week there. Especially with the hospitals there, but they're pretty crappy, too. So decided not to do that, and as I was still sitting up there, I asked God, and I was like, God, it'd be so cool to get a verse right now, you know, I don't know, change my life or whatever, and be sweet. And first thing that popped in my head was Matthew 4:6, which I'll read. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Yeah, I decided not to jump. And that was just like the first week, and I was like, wow, this is going to be so amazing. I was so excited because I've never heard God's voice like that clearly before and in that way. And it was like, I got that passage, Matthew 4:6, and I was like, well, whatever this is, because I really had no idea what it was. So I had my phone and I looked it up. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's so crazy. Just so excited. So that was like the first time I'd ever heard God's voice. And yeah, I was like in the first week. So I was like, man, this might be okay, actually. And then, so we had the first week, and then the second week of lectures rolled around, and we had they bring in speakers for each week, so we had like 12 different speakers, and the second week they were talking about like hearing God's voice. The speaker was talking about that, and so in the first day they were telling us to, like, she wanted everyone to share why they were there and whatever, so everyone was sharing, and she'd maybe give just say what God had given her for that person and kind of thing. And then when it came for my turn, I didn't really want to share, so I was like, blah, 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 and then sat back down. And I was hoping she'd just move by me, but she, like, yeah, she was talking to me, and she's like, you were, like, the person that kept me up at night, you know. I was praying for you a lot, and I was like, oh. Okay, that's interesting. And, yeah, she's like, if you don't decide to change anything right now, and, you know, it's not, you gotta really put effort into this. And earlier that morning, I was like still playing video games on my phone, and I was like, should I stop or not? And then she said that. I was like, okay, yeah, I think we're gonna stop for this time for sure now. And so I sat back down, and then the next person started going, and then she stopped that person. And she's like, no, I just can't get past you, and it's just like, you need to do something and whatever. And then he's like, okay, and then sat back down again. The next person started to go, and then she's like, no, wait, you know, there's something here. And so she prayed for me, and it was just like, I don't know, it was almost like kind of embarrassing. It was like, wow, I really have nothing together apparently, so I am not perfect at all. And then actually, like, one of the staff, she said, like, this is Father, and he's going to help you through this. And it was one of the guys who, like, doesn't really hug, and she's like, yeah, you can give him a hug. And it was like, so I gave him a hug for a long time, and it was such a good hug. But I think that was, like, he only gave me two hugs the entire time I was there. It was that time and then when I left. So that's a pretty special hug, too. So the 11 or 12 lecture topics that... Is that going to work? The 12 lecture topics that we had, just for those who are interested, were: first week was character and nature of God. Second week, hearing God's voice. Biblical worldview, identity, Father heart of God. What's the next one? Freedom from a wounded heart, relationships, evangelism, thanksgiving, worship and intercession, sin and repentance, and then spiritual warfare. And I think, like, the hearing God's voice one right at the start was just so impactful because she was really teaching us. And like, when you pray, like, it's not, we're not there to just to talk to God. We're there to talk with God. And that's what praying actually is. And that's what God wants us to do with Him. Because I know, like, going there, I was like, oh, I'm with all these super spiritual people. They know how to pray and I don't. And they have all these big fancy words and long eloquent prayers. And then me, I'm like, you know, three sentences and I'm done. So it was like so hard to pray. But why do we pray? Do we pray to impress other people? Because if we're doing that, then it's definitely not for the right reasons. Because praying is like, it's kind of an interesting thing because when we pray, we're asking God what we should pray for, and then we're praying it back to Him. So He already knows what we're going to pray for, and He tells us what to pray back to Him. So it's like, why do we pray? But I think, like, the main reason is definitely so that we build our relationship with God and get closer to Him. Because when we talk to God, we get His heart on things, and we're able to do them with a better attitude and a better heart. So that's what I learned about praying and hearing God's voice in that time. So while I was there, I really felt like I was going to be baptized there, and I kind of wanted my family to be there because it's just what everyone else does. So it'd be cool and would have been fun, but I was like, no, I think I'm going to get baptized before then. And in week five, the speaker who was talking about hearing God, Father Heart of God, was talking about baptism and how he'd baptized so many people. And I was like, yeah, maybe it's this week, and that'd be cool. So after, like, the class, I was sitting there and I was just asking God for verses and whatever, and like the first one I got was Jesus being baptized. So I was like, okay. So then I thought I'd talk to the staff after and see if that was a possibility, and one of the other students was already asking if he could be baptized that week. So, and because the speaker was leaving like Thursday night because he had an engagement Friday, we'd probably have to do it in like the pool instead of the ocean, which would have been really sad because, you know, you're there, it's the ocean, it'd be so much cooler. That's my theme and a few of the staff. Can you shut off the light? Oh, you're on the folder one. Okay, well, we can just leave that one up there, I guess, then. Actually, can you put the baptism one up? I think it'd be under the baptism folder thing. If you go to, oh, that one, yeah. So the guy on the right side was the speaker, and then on the other side was Jason, who was my one-on-one, like, because that's something they really encourage there, is just having someone to keep you accountable and to work through things with you, and you can talk to things about that you're struggling with. So he was really impactful in my life and such a great guy. And, oh, so yeah, we ended up getting baptized in the ocean because they worked it out, and we went at like 7 o'clock in the morning because that was the only time. So we went right before class, and it was just such an amazing time. And there the water is actually warm, kind of. So it was really nice. And because I bet there at 7 o'clock it was still probably 20 degrees in the morning. And here, when I got back, it was minus 20. So, like, there I could stick my head out of the moving car. Here, if I stuck my head out, I would probably, like, fall off and freeze and stuff. So it was definitely super cold trying to adjust back because it was just so cold. Terrible. I just did not like that at all. Like, I put, like, layers on, and it was just still freezing. Really was not ready for that. So that was like halfway, like week five, and then in week six we had a walk through the tabernacle, how like the priest prepared to go into the Holy of Holies. So we kind of did that like through the New Testament, and one of the activities that we had to do was, or that we were encouraged to do, was give stuff away. And if we felt God was telling us to give things away, we should do it. So was like, what should I give away, God, and whatever, and he told me like toy lights, juggling balls, money, and my phone. And I was like, it's not something I really want to give away. Like, I gave away the toy lights and whatever, and it was hard, but I was able to do that. And then, like, later that night, still hadn't given away my phone. And, like, one of the guys had actually, like, left his phone at the beach and somebody took it, so he didn't have a phone. So I was like, should I give it to him? And I was like, yeah. Like, no, not going to do that. Really wrestled with that, but I ended up did give it away, and it was so hard, and I was like, wow, I was way, way too attached to this thing. If it was that hard to give it away, man, something was wrong. So I didn't really have the best attitude the next week and a half, and was really struggling through it, and then finally I decided to talk to one of the staff there, and just talked about it, and I was finally able to, like, give it up to God and be like, okay, you know what, I can make it through this. This is okay. I'm fine without this piece of plastic, and we'll make it through this right now. And then that night, I was in my cabin. I was using my friend's phone to, like, text people because I had no way of contacting people after that. And the guy I'd given my phone to had actually texted me and said, it's not going to work, and I'm going to give it back, and, like, when I come to speak, and 2 weeks. And then right before that, I was walking from the bathroom to my cabin, and the girl I'd given my place to, one of the staff had actually bought her, like, the exact same pair, so she gave me brand new ones. And it was like, the timing was, like, so perfect, because it was right after I decided to give it up. It was like that night. And it's like, it couldn't have been better timing, because if I had have gotten that back, like, the day before, it would have meant so much less, because it would have been like, oh, you know what, whatever, I got it back, who cares? But just, like, the fact that God timed that so perfectly, it was like, wow, you know, there's a God out there, actually. Figured that out, but that really cemented that. So the next, like, that was, like, one of the first lessons I learned was, like, not being so attached to possessions, because they just control you, and need to let go of them. And then the next thing I learned was humility and not pleasing people so much, because that seemed to be such a big problem, because we all want approval and acceptance, and the only person we should really seek acceptance from is God, but half the time we don't do that. And actually in Galatians 1:10 it says, I am now trying to win the approval of man or of God. Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So in the Bible it tells us we should not be striving to please men and be living for God. So I went there with a cracked foot and like a sprained ankle. And I'd rested it. I figured that out at the start of September, and it was still a pain, like, when I got there, but I decided to play Ultimate Frisbee, like, the first day, and probably destroyed whatever healing had happened, because I can't play sports calmly. So it was pretty destroyed after that, and so I didn't really do anything for the first 2 months of that. And then finally I was like, you know what, I don't care anymore, I want to gain approval of man again, and I'm just going to do whatever, and thought that maybe like a day or before, and then like in the morning, I was chasing a kid. I was actually running away from someone, and I kicked a rock like really, really hard, so hard like that my toe, like I could see the bone in my toe, and that was on the other foot. So I couldn't even walk after that, really, because it was so bad, and yeah, it was so painful. I was like, well, maybe there is something here that we need to learn. So I really talked to God about it and prayed and asked for humility and a better spirit about this. And like right after that, my foot started to heal and I was finally able to play sports. And it was so much funner. And like when you're trying to please people, you play usually harder and more competitive. So after that, it was like, played a lot less competitive because it was just, and like into it because it was like, I'm not really trying to beat these people. I'm trying to show God's love to them. And that's one of the things you're there to do, is show God's love, because like DTSs sometimes have tracks and mine did. And it was worship and sports, worship and like music and whatever, and guitar and whatever, like stuff like that, and singing, and then sports. And it was like, how do you worship God through sports, you know? And not sure I really have figured that out yet, but I think really we just need to show God's love to them and be good sports about it and not get angry at them when they do stuff we don't like, because that's not the point there. Like, of course we want to win because we had a basketball court there, so we were able to play basketball when we wanted to, and like every three nights a week we'd have games with people from the community, so we were able to do that. But if we're playing all competitive and aggressive and not being nice to them and not showing love, then what is that telling them about us, because we claim to be a Christian organization? So we really need to show them God's love through that. And yeah, I think that was the best way to show God's love through sports. So that was the lecture phase of that. And then we went on outreach, which, like, before outreach had even started, we needed money. Like, lots of people still didn't have funds, so we needed like $7,000, and we had like an open offering, and people were, they felt like they were called to, they could give money to that. And I think in like 2 weeks we had like everything but $200, and then that was covered easily. So it was just so cool to see how God provides for needs and what He's called you to do, and it was just so amazing for that. So the first place we went was Guyana, which is in South America, and it's even hotter than St. Croix was. Like, it was so humid. Like, you step outside in like shorts and a t-shirt and you're like instantly sweating because it's so humid and so hot, which wasn't very comfortable to do things. But like the first day that we got there, it had rained, and then the next day we played soccer in a field that was completely muddy, and it was probably like a foot of water. So if you lean backwards, try and kick the ball up, because if you kicked it flat, it would get stuck in the mud and it wouldn't move. But if you lean backwards, as you can see, we got really muddy, because you lean backwards and you just fall backwards into the mud. So we did a soccer tournament with a bunch of people from the community, and like 30 people showed up, and my team won. But yeah, it was, when our team didn't play first, so I was watching them play, and I was like, man, they're terrible. I'm way better than all of them. And then you go out there and you're actually like, wow, you can barely run, you can barely kick the ball. You're actually really good. I'm actually really bad. So that was very humbling to see that. And then, so yeah, like I said, my track was sports, so the ability to do that and play sports with them was so much fun, and to share God's love with them. So on outreach, we do a bunch of different things, and in Guyana, one of the things we did was with schools. We went to a lot of schools in Guyana, and we talked about suicide, because Guyana actually has the highest rate of suicide in the world. So this is one of the schools we went to, and there's like 200 kids there. And when we got there, we were like prepared for 45 minutes. And then they said, you have like 2 hours. So like, what do you do with a bunch of teenagers at that age that don't pay attention very long? Can you load that video? I think it's like the same thing. And so like for schools and stuff, we'd like give testimonies and we do skits and do songs for them. And yeah, like the skits were just so empowering, and it was really amazing to be able to show God's love to them. And that was not the right video. It's just a video of like the schools. It would be like, yeah, whatever. Never mind. Gotta love technology. I worked really hard on that PowerPoint too. I'm really sad it didn't work. If there's time at the end, we have a video. Like, one of the girls made a video of like the entire DTS. So there's time if we watch that instead, I guess. But yeah, so that's what we did with the schools, and we're just able to really empower them and try and speak life into their lives, because like their parents and their families wouldn't really do that well for them. And another thing we did was, I guess that'll work. Kind of. Not really. This is a different school.
reason the entire village is taunting. So now whenever they walk past each other, they go, ah, 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 because it was so much fun. And they kept it going, and kept it going. And pretty soon, thought to himself, I want to create a new word. So he thinks,
That was Cohen. He was probably like the most outgoing person we had on our team, and was really able to entertain people really well, and which is useful when you have 2 hours and you only prepared for 45 minutes. So another thing we did there was church services. So every Sunday we'd get to do like the message and the songs and prepare for that. And one day again, we went into like the interior part of it, which was like not super interior because you have to go way deeper, and we did like three church services in one day, including one that was like 4 hours. And that was just like music, testimonies, and sermon. Like there was no Sunday school or whatever, but it was probably one of the most amazing because I don't think I could have really enjoyed a 4-hour church service because it's a really long time, especially when you have two more that same day. It's a lot of being in church, which isn't awful, I guess, because I think actually at that church service, they did one song for like an hour, 60 minutes of like the same song. And I know like seems like most songs are like 3 minutes, so I think you're singing that song like 20 times kind of thing, just repeating it. But it was so cool just to see how God had really changed my heart for that, and because that's what we did a lot of on base was worship, and did that like an hour every morning. So it was so cool to see how your heart actually can change, because like 3 minute songs sometimes get long, used to at least, not anymore. And one of the things we felt like we were called to do is wash people's feet. At one of the church services we did, we actually did it a few times, and most of these people I don't think had ever gotten their feet washed. So they were really receiving, and they just thought it was amazing, and it was so cool to see how they just thought we were so humble and were serving God, because they'd seen other teams come through and none of them had really done that. So they were really impressed with us, and actually we had a day of student leadership, and on my day I was really feeling like I should watch like all the staff and the students' feet with like the other girl I was leading with. So I was asking God if I should do it or not, and wasn't really sure, like, was that too much, you know, for, like, the servant-hearted thing. And so I was reading my Bible and asking God for a verse, and the first thing that I turned to was Jesus washing the disciples' feet. So it was really cool just to see how I got so much confirmation and, like, everything I was asking for, and how God was really speaking to me through the Word and was able to do stuff like that. And then the last thing was we did on outreach was work projects. And I think that's where you, like, if you want to learn how to work in hot weather and work hard, that's what you should do. Like, you don't get paid for this. It's all volunteer. And the one day we had to work in concrete. We had to mix it, and it was like 30 degrees. Sun was so hot, and it was like 4 hours, and actually like the night before I'd thrown up a whole bunch, so I wasn't even feeling that good, but you had to keep working, and yeah, I think I really learned how to work and work in hot weather, because I thought I knew how to work in hot weather, or I had worked in hot weather before, but I don't think it was anything compared to that. It was just cool to see how God gives you strength. And then we went to this other place called Miro. So we went to Guyana, St. Vincent, and Miro for outreach. And Miro, you needed to take a boat to get there. And of course, and the boat was like a six hour long boat ride. And we found out like a week before that the boat we were going to take wasn't going to work. So then we got people praying and got a different boat, but then that one had a fire on it, so we couldn't take that one. And then the first boat we were going to take ended up working, so we took that one. And boat rides are a lot of fun, but if you get sick, it's not a lot of fun. And like, we had two people on our, got very seasick, so they did not enjoy that. And it was actually, like, the one was, like, a staff, and she was the one who thought we should go to Miro. So that was a pretty big sacrifice to her to say that, considering she hates boat rides and was not her favorite thing to do. But in Miro, we did work project there, and it was, like, a desert, and there's cactuses everywhere. And one of the jobs we had to do was clear the line, because Miro is actually, like, one of the smallest inhabited islands. It's, like, 1.5 square miles, and only, like, 300 people live on it. And one lady kind of owns the whole island, and she had a vision to see youth camps on this island. So she decided to give YWAM, like, 44 acres on this island, which is, like, worth millions of dollars. But it's all bush and cactus and trees and stuff, so we had to clear, like, the property line, like, the outline of the property. It was kind of cleared. We were just touching it up, but there's still, like, stuff everywhere, and thorns and cactus and trees growing in, like, the middle of the path. So on the way down, like, we walked down to where we were going to cut. I was, like, running up the hill, chopping the cactuses off, because there is nothing more fun than chop cactus with a machete. Like, it's like Fruit Ninja, you know, it's like, whoosh, just explode, like, cuts right in half. It was so much fun. And the one staff member was like, you're going to run out of energy. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm going to have energy. I'm going to have more energy at the start than I do now. And probably about a third of the way through, I was running out of energy. I was like, God, I need energy right now, you know, finish this job, finish it strong. And he provided so much so that, like, at the end, I had more energy, and I was still running up and down the hills, chopping down the cactuses. And they're all, like, super tired, like, kind of dragging their feet back, and I'm just running ahead, probably really annoying, but had way too much energy. I asked for too much, apparently. So that was really cool to see how God just provides strength for you when you need it most. So that was the experiences I had, and it was super cool. And then one of the biggest weeks, I think, for me was Father Heart of God week, just because that speaker was so impactful. So I just want to share a little bit on that now. And yeah, so I don't know how our fathers are on earth, but they're not perfect, and they never can be, because we're mortal and we can't be perfect. But God is everything in our earthly fathers, and way more, and he's so perfect. And we learned that so much, and we learned where do we get our identity from, and what defines you. Because if we let other people define us and let them brand us and give us names and tell us what they think we are, then we usually end up really down. And so we have to learn to not receive a lot of the things people are going to tell us, because in Song of Song 2:14, it says, your face is lovely. That's in the Bible. So God's saying that we are beautiful and lovely, and he loves us so much. So when people are telling us that we're ugly and fat and not beautiful, we need to look past that and see how God sees us, because we have our own mirrors and how we see ourselves, and then we have our God mirrors, how God sees us. So when we learn to see ourselves through how God sees us, we can be so much more empowered and so much more willing to do the things he's called us to do, and not be afraid of what man is going to think of us. And that was such a huge thing for me, was like overcoming what man actually thinks of you, because it affects you so much, and it really hurts talking to other people. And YWAM is definitely a place where you learn to overcome fear of man, because they have you go and do these things called treasure hunts, where you just walk up to random people and ask if you can pray for them and talk to them, and like, these are completely random people that you've never met before. Of course, they're a lot more, it's a warm climate culture, so they're a lot more receiving, and they usually will talk to you, but still it's kind of scary to go up to random people and talk to them about God and see how they're going to receive it and stuff. But when we get rid of that fear of man and just learn to live in who God says, because it really affects everything, fear of man, because if we're worried about what other people think about us, we're going to change how we dress, how we think, how we talk, how we pray. Like, public speaking was such a scary thing. I didn't really want to preach all about Reach because that was just too scary. And of course, the last Sunday, God was really putting it on my heart to preach for the last service that we had. It was like the last thing about Reach that we did. And so I had to talk for like 40 minutes, which was insane because like I'd done one before and it was 15 and I could barely do that. Because I just run out of things to say and I can't really explain and expound on things. And I talked about fear of man and what fears of man that I had. And so public speaking was one of them. And I was looking into it and wondering why people are so afraid of public speaking. And just some of the things that scare people so much is, I think I have it on my phone. Let's see. So like the things that scare people the most about public speaking. Actually, public speaking is listed as like the number one thing that people are afraid of. They're more afraid of making a fool of themselves in front of other people than dying alone. Dying alone sounds pretty awful because like you're never going to see anybody again, and the last thing you have on earth is aloneness and dying. But apparently we're still more afraid to speak in front of people. And the reasons for that are we're afraid of the fear of getting up there and forgetting everything we're going to say. So, see, I have my notes. Even if I forget, I still have them. And the fear of being at risk publicly. So, fear of saying the wrong things and everybody laughing at us and feeling rejected and feeling distant from other people after we do that, and like fear of being exceptional. Like if we do a really good job, we're going to be above other people kind of thing. Apparently that's a motivator why we don't like the public speak, because we're afraid it'll put us above other people and we don't want to be seen different from other people. We want to be seen the same as what other people are. And I think one of the biggest things is like fear of like you're up there all alone. See, there's no one over there. Like, everyone's in front of you and can't really just pass it off and get off. Like, everybody's watching you, so they're watching everything that you do. And that was definitely something I learned to overcome. Even in that, I was so terrified of doing the message for that. And I definitely don't think I'd be up here right now if I hadn't done that, because I just overcame my fear so much and I didn't really care what they thought and how bad or good it was. So it was just so amazing to see how far I've come. Because I definitely say, before going to YWAM, I definitely would not have been up here talking. That was like, no, you don't do that. Not ever going to do that, that's for sure. So, yeah, that was my time there, and it was so impactful and so life-changing and was so amazing. I thank God for the opportunity that He gave me to go and do that, because it was definitely Him who thought that would be a good idea and knew it was going to be the best thing for me. Because I think if I would have went to Bible school, it would have been good, but I think this was just so much more impactful and life changing because it was so much more hands on and you really learned how to do things. That was my experience there. So I'm just going to pray to close. God, we thank You so much for Your awesome love and Your amazing power, God, and how You've blessed each of us and You've called us each to do something great. And I pray that we would just take advantage of these opportunities that You've given us and the strength that You've given us, God. I pray that we would use that for what You have called us to do. I pray that You would just help these words to not fall on dry soil, God, but that they would be planted and they would grow and be watered and strengthened, God. So I pray that for today, and I thank You for this time, and I pray that You'd give us each a good afternoon and that You'd bless it, and pray for the remainder of the service and the fellowship time after. Amen.